Blog Talk Radio.
Some about the Lenten season that we are in and to talk about other spiritual matters. My husband and father and I live here in Goldsboro, and we are just blessed to be serving God in this place. And we have a history of having lived in Virginia and North Carolina most of our lives, and just really love the area. And I am not a Tar Heel, but I have to say for the UNC Tar Heels who won the ACC last night, congratulations.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. Lee, thank you for spending time with us. Lee will be on for the first half hour of our show, and today we are going to talk about the Lenten season, the practices that often people take on during Lent, and we are excited about it. She's going to give an overview, just a little brief history and a little bit of the meaning of Lent. We're going to talk about it, and my friends, if you have questions, if you have comments, if you have thoughts, we welcome you to call in today, area code 909-362-8206. And our producer, Carolyn A. Brent, is here, and she will chime in whenever she feels like it. But we certainly are excited about this. For our listeners today, Lee Beasley Gillis and I met through a mutual friend and colleague when I was serving as an associate general presbyter, that's an associate church executive in Virginia. My family and I were living in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I was traveling just those few miles to the office in Portsmouth, Virginia. And a dear retired pastor and a fine, fine gentleman by the name of Reverend Fred Sanner was talking with me, and he said, "I have a friend that I would like for you to meet. I think the two of you will be great connection and great company for each other." And he told me about this lovely woman by the name of Lee Beasley Gillis, who was a pastor and who was now serving in, at that time, a church in North Carolina, just across the Virginia border. And we arranged to meet, and one day this absolutely stunningly beautiful lady came to the office, and we have been very, very close friends ever since. And Lee, do you want to tell them our tradition now that Fred has joined the church triumphant? You want to tell our audience about what we do when we get together?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, I have to say that anywhere that Mary and I meet across the country for some church event or another, we've been in all different places, Minneapolis, Indianapolis,
yes,
Kansas City, we've been all over. We always have a glass of wine and toast our friend Fred Sanner. And, you know, I'm reminded as we talk about it that he actually died during Lent. He yes. died late February of 2009, and so that gave special meaning, a bittersweet, to that Lenten season.
Indeed. So we dedicate this show to the memory of
absolutely
Fred Sanner and to all of those who have such a wonderful respect for the Lenten season. Lee, would you share with us just a little bit of an overview of Lent, its history, its significance? What is Lent?
Okay, yeah, especially for those who may not be familiar with it. In the Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox traditions, it's approximately a 40-day period that's about 6 weeks before Easter it starts. It starts with a day called Ash Wednesday, and in some traditions, people go to church on that day, and an ash cross is made on their forehead by a priest or pastor. This year, Ash Wednesday was February 10th, so that's about 5.5 weeks ago. And so Lent is a 40-day period, which actually begins 46 days before Easter. And people always ask, why is that? And it's because the Sundays during Lent do not count as Lent.
Yes.
Because on every Sunday when we gather to worship, we celebrate the resurrection. So we're not in that somber period of preparation for Easter and the resurrection. And people observe Lent in different ways, feeling that maybe some sacrifice is called for, and I know you want to talk more about that, assessment of their life, prayer with God to see where we are falling short, and we can confess our sins and turn around and address what we are doing wrong and make changes in our lives. And it's a period of prayer, fasting, if that's your wish, and getting closer to God as we get ready to prepare for Easter. And in some ways, we remember Jesus' time in the wilderness. Some people call the 40 days in the wilderness similar to the 40 days of Lent, as we are trying to get closer to God as Jesus did while praying in the wilderness.
Absolutely. Lee, how do you celebrate or how do you commemorate Lent, either in your family tradition or as a pastor? How do you personally acknowledge the Lenten season?
Well, as I said, Lent is a time to assess, confess, address, and then be blessed. And
amen.
So I try to go deeper into prayer and meditation during this time. I will say that many Protestant denominations, United Methodist, Presbyterian, and some others did not even pay a great deal of attention to Lent, the liturgical calendar, prior to the formation of the PCUSA denomination in 1983 as the churches merged. I think it was after the time of reunion that Lent became more important in our traditions. So I did not, you know, I was not really aware of it when I was growing up. It was later in life. And, of course, Orthodox friends and Catholic friends, you know, always celebrated it more. Many of them did fast during Lent, give up something precious in their diets or in their life as a Lenten sacrifice.
Yes. Well, let's talk about that. Let's just park right there about the sacrifice for a little while, because I think it's important for our listeners to understand some things about it. What is the significance of sacrificing or giving up something for Lent, especially something very precious? Why do we do that?
Well, for many, it is symbolic of the sacrifice of Jesus, because as we consider what Jesus did for us as Good Friday approaches, the day that he gave his life for us, we approach that day. We could skip, perhaps, if we wanted, from celebration on Palm Sunday to celebration at Easter and miss the sacrifice of Jesus. But when we look at Holy Week coming up and we see what Jesus said that night at the table on Thursday night, what we call Maundy Thursday, and the sacrifice of Jesus going to the cross on Friday, that's a very solemn piece for us. And in some way, we make a sacrifice that's just a small example of what Christ did for us.
Yes, indeed. And it is really quite an experience to commit to giving up something we really want to do for that 40-day period. It does show that we are remembering, commemorating, honoring, really giving honor to a Lord who sacrificed his life and then took it up again so that we might be able to live out that promise that he made to each and every one of us. Lee, I grew up with people, friends and others in school who talked about giving up something for Lent, and I would sometimes say, let's go play this or let's go do that, and especially as a teenager, giving up a party or a Sunday afternoon of skating was a real sacrifice for most of us. A couple of my friends would say, no, I've given that up for Lent. And when I first heard it, I didn't know what it meant. And I wondered why they were giving up, so I would ask. And then I had to ask my pastor, because some of my friends didn't really know why they were doing it. It was just a practice in the family. And I began just giving up something for Lent. And on one occasion, to honor the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I gave up everything imaginable. I gave up desserts and carbonated drinks, and I even said I was going to give up talking on the phone to my friends, things that I love to do. And after about a week, I was suffering beyond what I ever thought I could. And I then thought, well, maybe the Lord won't be upset if I just talk to my friends a few minutes today. And before I knew it, it was all done. If we make that commitment and are not able to keep it, what consequences do we experience?
Well, I tend to find that the consequences are more disappointment in ourselves. God may not be happy about that, but our God is not the wrathful God we have come to understand from the Old Testament if we read it exclusively. So our God is a God of love. God knows our weaknesses. God knows our prayers even before we ask. And I think we're disappointed in ourselves, and so if we try to take on too many things, you're exactly right. I know friends who have given up going to movies and television, and they've given up chocolate, and they've given, that's a lot. But I do think one point that you made is very valid, which is about, you know, children. I don't know, preteens or teens. They may well learn the practice from their family or their church before they really understand it, and that's kind of okay. Sometimes we learn a practice in church, like we stand to sing the doxology when we return the offering or something, and they may not understand yet why we do it, but it becomes a habit of life. Mm-hmm. And so that's important that your friends were attempting to do that without even understanding the full meaning.
That's very true. One of my very dear friends who has now joined the Church Triumphant, we grew up two doors from each other. Her name is Mabel. And Mabel and I talked. Mabel was Catholic. Her family was Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to church with her once in a while. And I learned, you know, some of the practices and all of the Catholic faith. And she was one of the first people who would talk about giving up something for Lent. And it was an I would come home and talk with my mom, and she would explain, you know, some of those things that we honor Jesus Christ in doing so and all of that. But I still didn't really understand, you know, the real spiritual significance for myself of the sacrifice and how important it is. Do you have any thoughts about how parents, how families can share with their children and preteens what Lent really is without explaining something that they'd never understand because it's over their heads?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we know that children around age 12 start to understand, like, metaphor. So a parent can say, doing this is like, and they can make an example, like, you know, I don't know, if your good friend came over, would you let them play with your favorite toy even though you wanted to play with it?
Sure.
And a younger, a younger child might say no.
Yeah.
But as children get older, they start to understand. And so you may start with something simple in their everyday life as an example of sacrifice.
Yes.
And a sacrifice can also be something we do that we don't normally do. So, for instance, you know, a child of 10, 12 may offer to clean the table and do the dishes or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sacrifice, but it's an act of service as sacrifice, for instance.
Yes.
That's maybe something they could understand. They'd rather go in and get on their computer, but they'll give that 15 minutes that it takes to clean up the table and, you know,
yeah,
the dishwasher,
absolutely,
or it may
absolutely
be. So, and again, it's good to make, same thing, I've heard children recite the Lord's Prayer, and some of the words are run together wrong or, you know, or something.
Yes.
So they don't,
yes,
really yet understand what they're saying, but it has meaning for them because it's something the adults are doing in worship, and they're learning by doing, and then later it may mean more.
That's very true. That's very true. You know, it reminds me as well, in the Presbyterian, Lutheran, United Methodist, so many of our denominations observe and really revere the beauty of baptism. We baptize,
mm-hmm,
infants in the Presbyterian Church. We baptize those infants because we firmly believe that the promises of God through Jesus Christ are also for our children. And
that's right.
Some of our denominations very firmly hold to believer's baptism, but they will dedicate a child without the water, but they will dedicate that child in just as holy and sacred a manner as,
mm-hmm,
those who do believer's baptism. And for our listeners, my friends, we will indeed dedicate a show coming up to baptism and some of the differences between various denominations and whether it makes a difference or not. And what I'd like to ask in bringing that back around to the Lenten season, Lee, does it matter if we enter the Lenten season without sacrificing something? Does it matter if we enter the Lenten season and promise to be in more disciplined prayer, to be more disciplined in our meditation life? Does it matter if we don't give up something or sacrifice something if we intend to deepen our prayer and spiritual life?
Well, my belief would be that it matters, but the person it matters most to is us. You know, and again, I'm back to the idea of disappointing self if we commit to doing something, reading, you know, more scripture every night or something, and we fall asleep doing that. Sometimes we get mad at ourselves for something like that or disappointed. But I think it matters because we miss the deeper spiritual experience that we might have had we done whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I would caution again against taking on too much or something beyond your, you know, something beyond your capability at the time. I would just say that that too much is not good. In fact, today in worship, we talked about a passage, John chapter 12, the anointing of Jesus at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus.
Lazarus, yes.
And that story, many people, honestly, in the church, I said, if we stopped reading right here before Jesus speaks, how many of you would raise your hand and agree, you know, say what Judas said, why is she wasting this expensive perfume to wash the feet of Jesus when it could be given and fed the poor, you know, given to the poor for them to be fed?
Yes.
And the reason is that for her, this was a costly sacrifice, the sacrifice of Mary, the sister of Lazarus, as she washed Jesus' feet, was a perfume that was actually worth the equivalent of a year's wages. And so she knew she was using that. And, of course, Jesus even mentioned that it could have been used for his burial. I think this was a foreshadowing of the death and burial of Jesus. But
indeed,
the idea of that sacrifice, that's great. No, none of us should say at the start of Lent, I'm going to get...
Uh-oh. Yes. We lost you just for a second. We had a little interruption in our connection.
Yeah, I think she's gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think she's gone.
Well,
oh, no problem. She'll probably call back. Yes, she'll call back.
For those of you who are listening, she was giving a brief overview of the story in John chapter 12 of Mary, who anointed Jesus in preparation for his burial. And yes, there were those present who complained about the cost of the ointment that she used, and it was equivalent to about a year's wages, but she was indeed honoring him and preparing him, but she was also willing to make that sacrifice in order for him to be shown the respect, the honor that he deserved and deserves as our Savior. And I might stop there just a moment to invite those who wish to call in, that you certainly are still invited to do so. And our number is 909-362-8206. You are most welcome to do so. This wonder of the Lenten season is a time when we can draw closer to God, closer to Christ in our personal lives, even in our social lives.
And I'm back now. Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, I was holding on, filling up a little time for you. I knew
Absolutely.
You'd be able to get back. You were talking about that time with Mary and the costliness of the ointment.
Yes, and if anybody wants to read that, I don't know if you followed up a little bit, but it's in John chapter 12, the first 8 verses.
Yes.
So that might be something that you can look at to get an idea of that particular woman's sacrifice and the meaning that it had in Jesus' life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is one of my absolute favorite scripture passages. The Gospel of John, I say this all the time for our listeners, the Gospel of John is my favorite gospel. It is so close to my heart. I read it religiously, and I have great love for the other 3 gospels as well. They are called the Synoptic Gospels. I love each and every one of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I read them religiously as well. There's something about the Gospel of John that just grabs hold to my soul and won't let go. And,
oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, and that story just touches my heart every time I think about it, every time I read it. And for those of you who are listening, we have the lectionary, which is a suggestion of scriptures for various occasions, for Sundays, for Good Fridays, for daily reading, and for pastors to consider in their sermon preparation. And the cycle runs in about a 3-year cycle. So preaching from that gospel comes up just about every 3 years, and I'm always ready for it. I try to be at any rate. So, Lee, are there some other thoughts that you would like to share with our listening audience, and anything that you would like for us to keep in mind and to know as we continue throughout this Lenten season?
Well, I just say that it's never too late to start, honestly. So we are here at the 13th, and Easter Sunday is in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. If you've not heard of Lent before, if we've said something new to the audience today about Lent and what it means, please explore it more. You can read more about it online, and you can certainly call in today with questions. But also just mark this time from today forward with an attempt to assess where you are in your life. Confess that to God and address things that you need to change and go forward from here. The days of Holy Week, for me, one of the most meaningful Lenten services is the Maundy Thursday evening service, which many places, most churches will have a celebration of the Eucharist or Communion or the Lord's Supper that night. Some do it in the tradition of the upper room from Scripture. Some actually do the Passover meal. Mm-hmm. Which that would be another whole show about Passover, and then some churches observe Good Friday when we know that at noon the sky was darkened when Jesus died there on the cross on Friday.
Indeed.
The Orthodox churches observe a vigil on Saturday, the whole day, Saturday into night, and then they celebrate when Easter morning finally comes. Mm-hmm. But that's a beautiful candlelight service generally on Saturday around Orthodox churches, whether they're Greek Orthodox or Russian or other Orthodox type churches.
Yes.
And then we gather on Sunday morning at the cross. We flower the cross as if you would bring flowers to the tomb, but having found that we gather for sunrise.
Lovely.
At our congregation, and then a regular worship service at a regular time. But so there's a lot of celebration ahead, but please don't waste the last 2 weeks of Lent.
Indeed. I appreciate so much what you said about it's never too late to start. And I know, I believe, and I thoroughly feel in my soul that God honors whatever commitment we make whenever we make it. So if it wasn't made on Ash Wednesday, Lent is still in process. It is not too late. I have made commitments in the middle of Lent and tried and worked very hard and kept them throughout. I have also made commitments at the beginning of Lent and, you know, eased off a little. And there is nothing so hard as we can be hard upon ourselves, that we can just be unforgiving and just keep thinking way after Easter is done, I can't believe I made that commitment during Lent and didn't keep it. You know, let it go and make the commitment next time.
Absolutely.
What else do we need to remember about Lent?
I read some about, and again, there could be a whole show on the meaning of certain numbers, because, you know, I said how Lent is a 40-day period because we don't count the Sundays. That could be biblically symbolic. I mean, some people will say that's the number of days that Moses was on Mount Sinai.
Absolutely.
That's the number of days of the flood.
Yes.
The Hebrew people spent 40 years in the wilderness themselves, wandering to the promised land.
Yes.
And I already mentioned Jesus' wilderness time. So so wilderness or away from the rush and hurry, to quote a familiar hymn, is kind of the way that Lenten is viewed. So I do think that in some ways we quiet our hearts a little bit, we turn more introspective and examine ourselves in order to, you know, turn over to God. I hate to say turn over a new leaf, that's a little bit trite, but it but it's almost a time of reaffirmation of our faith in God and trying to show that in a deeper way.
Yes. Oh, I thank you so much for sharing that and for making this known to our listening audience, because it is a wonderful and holy time, and a time when we really can reorient ourselves for our spiritual life and reaffirm who God is in our lives, and really be able to see more clearly how it is that God is leading us and where and why. So certainly I thank you for that. You have certainly shared some information about this sacred time of the year, and just bringing to light the beauty of remembering when in the gospel, for the Gospel of John, when Mary anointed Jesus and prepared him really for his burial, because he was continuing his journey toward the cross. That is just one of the most beautiful stories that we can hear, but also knowing that he supported her when others were criticizing her for what she'd done, because she was the same Mary that sat at Jesus' feet while Martha was busy and working.
That's right.
You know, she was a little different from some of the others in that time, and Jesus appreciated her for who she was and what she meant to him in his life. And that, I think, is essential, because sometimes we are a little hard on those who might do things a little differently than what society might expect or what family might expect. But the Lord always understands who we are and why we have done what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's crucial for people to hear. And Lee, we don't want to beleaguer. I know you have some things going, but please be with us as long as you are able. And then when you must go, we certainly will understand that.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. I look forward to the next time.
I look forward to the next show, my friends who are listening. We will have Lee Beasley-Gillis to talk about the importance of health in congregations, how she has worked with congregations that are in conflict and struggling, because there we are an organization made up of human beings who make mistakes, who have difficulty, who have conflicts, and the important thing is working them out in a healthy way. And so, Lee, we appreciate you, appreciate your presence, and we'll continue in prayer for you, your husband, your father, and for your fine ministry in North Carolina.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm going to continue listening myself. So,
thank you. God bless
you. Thank
you
for having me. Take care. You'll be in my prayers.
Thank you, always. You are in ours.
Thank you.
My friends, you have just heard the Reverend Lee Beasley-Gillis, who has shared some very important and a very in-depth information about the Lenten season, its beauty, its importance. And I would like to invite you, for those who wish and are able, we welcome you to call in once again, 909-362-8206. We have many people who are in our listening audience, and we are all people of different backgrounds, different faiths, different religions, and different foci on our spiritual life. I have many Jewish friends, many friends who are Muslim, and it's fascinating that these particular events are commemorated in a similar time during the year. For my Jewish friends, the Passover is a time of remembrance, a time of acknowledgement, a time of becoming more deeply engaged and involved in the knowledge of the work that God has done, will do, and will always do in the lives of people, delivering them from 400 years of slavery under Egyptian domination, and then wandering in the wilderness, as Lee mentioned, for 40 years, and then finding freedom and all that has gone with that. We also have our Muslim brothers and sisters who acknowledge the time of Ramadan. My friends, there are many, many religious events that take place at various times that allow us to deepen our faith, to become closer to God, to be more in tune and more spiritually focused, because we indeed are the people that God has created in God's own image, and we are loved unconditionally by a Lord who actually allowed, gave, lent. The Greek word, as we say, the Lord gave his son, lent his son, the Greek word means lent, sent, or gave. So to send, to lend, or to give. It can mean any of those in the Greek. And so God allowed Jesus to walk this earth, to teach, to preach, to heal, to save, to feed those who were hungry, to declare that the kingdom of God was already at hand. They didn't have to go looking or waiting. God's kingdom was already here. And so any sacrifice that we give in acknowledgement of Christ's great sacrifice of his life for each of us is something that we indeed, I pray, will bring us closer to Almighty God. And may we continue to provide that showing to the world of how we are appreciative of all that God has actually done for each and every one of us. My friends, I share with you, and if our producer, Carolyn A. Brent, so desires, you may certainly enter into this conversation. Carolyn, I will share with you and our listening audience, as I did with Lee just a little bit ago, that there have been some times when I have been extremely vigilant about giving up something for Lent, and it's been something that I just dearly loved, and it was certainly in thankfulness, in standing, and in grateful appreciation for all that God had done for me. And sometimes during that season, I'll get weak and just not continue with that particular sacrifice and be very upset with myself. But I think it's important to know that we do serve and love a forgiving God who loves each and every one of us and who cares deeply for us and understands that we are imperfect people created by a perfect God. So one message might be, my friends, that you not be so hard on yourself if you fail to acknowledge or to continue that sacrifice throughout Lent. You always have a chance to start again. You always have a chance to pick it up again and to move forward, because we are indeed imperfect people. So do not be so hard on yourselves if you give up something and get a little weak and eat or begin a practice that you have tried to give up. Start it up again and move forward and be as disciplined as you possibly can in knowing how to allow your faith, your discipline, and your willingness to sacrifice to run its course throughout this season. and you will find that indeed these times will be very precious to you and will indeed bring you far closer to our Lord than you thought you possibly could be. I will share with you that today I had the honor of preaching for one of our congregations today, and I preached from Mark chapter 10 when Jesus healed a man who was blind. And this was someone who would not give up. He saw Jesus. Well, he didn't see Jesus. He knew that Jesus was there. He could see from his heart and soul, and that's where I'm going with this, that he called out to Jesus as Jesus was on the road leaving Jericho, and he was sitting on the side, on the fringes of the village, on the fringes of society, calling to Jesus for healing, and he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't give up. The people tried to quiet him. He wouldn't be quiet. He kept calling, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Bring him to me. Come. Come here." He came, and Jesus said to him, "Your faith has made you well. You may go in peace." And this man could walk away being able to see as he could not see before. Just prior to this particular story in Mark, Jesus had let James and John know really who they really were. The two of them were asking when Jesus would come into the kingdom. They wanted one to be on the left and one to be on the right, and Jesus let them know that the last shall be first and the first shall be last, that, you know, to come into God's kingdom, one must have humility and understanding and not bringing oneself into importance, but knowing who was really the one who was important. It's interesting that in my sermon I talked about the two of them being able to see physically with their eyes, but not being able to see from their souls. But Bartimaeus, who could not see physically, could see from his heart and from his soul who Jesus was. And that is how his faith made him well. He believed that Jesus Christ was the one who could heal him, just as a little earlier in Mark's gospel, the woman who had a hemorrhage and who was ill and had been bleeding for a long time. The scripture said 12 years she suffered from this illness, and she believed that if she just touched Jesus' cloak, touched his garment, she would be healed, she would be made well. And her faith was so strong that when she touched his garment, Jesus felt some of the power go out of him, and he acknowledged that someone had touched him. Well, the disciples were right there, and they said, "What do you mean? You see all these people here. How can you say somebody touched me? Everybody's trying to touch you." But that touch was something very different. And so the woman acknowledged what had happened, and Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And my friends, our faith is the driving force in how we move through life, how we move through Lent, how we acknowledge ourselves in this world in which we have been created by God. Faith is essential. And your faith, that you can move through Lent and acknowledge those sacrifices you are making and make it through those 40 days, you can acknowledge that. And indeed, your faith can carry you through if you believe that you can do it, because you believe in a God who created you, who loves you, and who indeed will always be present with you, that can take you through the Lenten season, knowing full and without fail that you are guided by a Lord who gave his Son and can also move you through Lent and through life in ways that will render you stronger and better able to deal with life and life's idiosyncrasies, for they are many. So for this time, my friends, I think it is essential for us to know that this Lenten season exists for a purpose. And sometimes congregations have special Bible studies for the 6 weeks leading up to Lent, leading up to Easter. I used to have a Bible study each week and focus for those 6 weeks on something particular, sometimes the theme of forgiveness, sometimes the theme of faith, sometimes whatever we were studying, we would move through each week addressing some aspect of that theme. And in the interesting thing was most of those who participated were in the process of giving up something for Lent. And they talked about how coming together in group Bible study was helpful for them in terms of sharing what it was they were giving up, why they were doing it, that it sometimes is difficult to give up something you love so much. For some people, Carolyn, giving up chocolate is something that really is hard to do. There are those who love chocolate. It's not very good for my blood pressure, but I love potato chips. But I have given them up for this Lenten season. And it's for health purposes. It is also for spiritual purposes. Someone asked me just a couple of days ago if I would talk about this on the show today. And so I will share, for those who have specific health issues, those who may be diabetic, those who may have high blood pressure, those who have physical conditions in which they need to eat on a schedule, you need to eat at certain times, for those who want to fast during the Lenten season, if it is not physically possible for you to sacrifice a meal and give up a meal, you may want to give up something that you usually eat if it's something that you can replace with something else. If you can replace certain fruits with vegetables, if you can replace meat with soy or certain other protein-packed foods, you may want to try something like that. Talk with your doctor and learn what it is you can give up if you wish to do that, something that you can fast from during this season or during the period that you determine. But sacrificing your health is not what Lent is about. So if you are diabetic and you need to eat at specific times and you know you need to have fruit, vegetables, protein, you must have that. But you can talk with your doctor about how you can replace those things so that you will not sacrifice the important nutrients for your body. It is not our intention in our spiritual life journey of rendering people physically unhealthy, thinking that they are being spiritually closer to God. God does not intend for us to be unhealthy in this process. So I share that because it is very, very important. And I share that, Carolyn, because I have a dear friend who gave up, who fasted, who wanted to fast for the entire 40 days or the 46 days of the Lenten period and became very ill because this person fasted from eating meals and did nothing but drink water and became extremely ill. So our concern for the health of our listeners, for the health of the world, is that discover what you can fast from and still remain healthy and still honor the promises to God. It is extremely important. So I share that with you all as a listening audience, and please know that I pray for you daily and regularly. and wish you the peace of Christ. We are now just about 10 minutes before time to end our show together. And I would like to reinforce for our listening audience that you are dearly loved by a Lord who created you in God's own image. God created each and every one of us around the world in God's image. God loves us. God is always present with us. And God will always see us through whatever crisis we find ourselves in, even if it is not what we expect or what we ask God for. God knows what we need and will provide that for us. I share that with you because sometimes during the Lenten season, if we are experiencing different kinds of crises in life, we begin to wonder, is God really with us? Is God really present? Right. Where is God? 1 year ago during the Lenten season, I was serving as a hospital chaplain in Joplin, Missouri, and the director for pastoral care and I were together on Ash Wednesday. We made the chapel available for anybody who wanted to come through to have prayer, to have ashes, to talk. And it's amazing because, Carolyn, we had people come. Some people didn't want the ashes. They just wanted to talk. Some people wanted the ashes and prayer. Some people came. One young lady came, and I had to sit with her for a long time because she had a family member who was very gravely ill. And I must commend the director of pastoral care, the Reverend Dr. Doug Lawson, and all of the pastoral care staff there at Freeman Hospital in Joplin, Missouri, because they were there to provide spiritual care no matter what faith, no matter what background, no matter what the person was going through. We were there for them. And that entire staff, the Reverend Christine Iannicelli, the Reverend Bill, the Reverend Greg, the Reverend Keith, we were there together, and we were there for that community, for that group of people. And there was a wonderful intern by the name of Chaplain Vanessa, and she was doing an internship there at the hospital, and I had the privilege of spending time with her, visiting people with her and being a friend and helping her to get accustomed to all that was happening. And so the Lenten season can take on many, many forms, whether you're in a hospital and you open the chapel for anyone who wants to come through for whatever reason. Some people would go to the chapel, Carolyn, and just sit and pray. They didn't necessarily want to talk to someone. They just wanted to be in a place that was designated as God's place where they could go and be. We would have Bibles. We had Qurans. We had whatever people needed in that chapel, they could have it. And some people would want to sit and talk with the chaplain. Sometimes I would arrange to meet with people there in the chapel at a certain time just to pray, just to listen, just to let them know that they are cared for. So I am grateful for the opportunity to have been broadened and shown a deeper and more exciting way of conducting ministry. While at that hospital, it was a wonderful experience in my life. And also for my dear members, former members, at Ebenezer Presbyterian Church in Greenfield, Missouri. They taught me what it means to love unconditionally, to care for people. There is a gentleman who would come, Carolyn, every Sunday early, unlock the church, turn on the heat, make sure when I arrived, I found the church warm and open and ready for me so I could come in and prepare myself. And that took commitment. And it took discipline, and it took love. And so for me during this Lenten season, I am in prayerful remembrance for all of those who have shown me respect and love and unconditional. unconditional care. And that's why I shared those stories with our listening audience. Carolyn, I'm showing that we have just about 5 to 6 minutes left. I would like for all of our listeners to know that we come to you, compliments of caregiverstory.com. Carolyn A. Brent, who is just a great strategist in all things that are related to caregiving, all things that are related to caring for oneself. My friends, perhaps during this Lenten season, you may be a person who realizes that you may need to care more for yourself. Do so and look to caregiverstory.com as a website you can go to learn more about that. Carolyn, are there some things you would like to share with our listening audience in these last few minutes?
Yes, thank you so much. I really enjoyed your message. It was very powerful, and I started thinking about the things I had given up, but before Lenten season. I didn't even, you know, I wasn't even focusing on Lenten season. I just knew that God wanted me to give something up because there's some more work that God wants me to do. And in order for me to do it, I have to fill it the best that I can, period. So I gave up something that I just gave up something, which is sugar. Mm-hmm. And sugar is very, very hard for me to give up. But what can I say?
Yes.
I gave it up.
Indeed.
But I wanted
to
ask you, could you share with the world about your book, like what the name of it, just a little bit about it and where to get it? Because that's very important. With scars on my soul. Yeah, I would really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. I wrote the novel With Scars on My Soul during a very difficult time in my life. And it is a novel about a pastor who takes the leadership of a congregation following a long-term, very, very beloved icon throughout the community of Los Angeles. This is a novel that is set in Los Angeles, and it talks about all the things that happen in a church. We are human beings, and we are God's people, but Carolyn, we are imperfect, we are sinful, we do things that God is not pleased with, and this pastor, Reverend Ramika Middlebrooks, comes to a church that is wallowing in corruption, in sin, in just not knowing anymore what it is God has called them to do. And she takes the time to try to do what is right for God, for the people, and she experiences some real pushback, some resistance, some unwillingness to let go of the fact that Pastor Hank Hanley has served and served well and made mistakes like we all do, but has now passed away and gone to glory. And sometimes in the church, it is hard for us to realize when a pastoral leader, an icon, just cannot continue serving that congregation. And so Pastor Hank retired, eventually passed away, and Ramika takes up the mantle and moves forward in the name of God. And I pray that people will see in this particular novel a message for themselves, a message that God brings to us, that although we are imperfect, sinful people, we're created by a perfect God and we are loved. But it is important to understand how to operate a church in a healthy manner. And that's the book. It is available on caregiverstory.com. It's available on the website. And we encourage you to access that website. We will indeed look forward to being with you again. I will be with you right now every first Sunday of the month and look forward to doing that. And you will read more about that on the website. And Carolyn, thank you for this opportunity. You are the best producer ever to be producing, just so you know that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
the best host ever. Thank you for being a fabulous host. I love you, Mary. God loves
you.
And just thank you for giving us your time every week from caregiverstory.com. Let me just put the music on. I think it's going to start, but it may not start. But Mary, I don't know if it's it's not starting, but that's okay. I'm going to try something else on it. Oh, here we go. So caregiverstory.com and Dr. Mary Newburn-Williams.